There's no doubt in your mind that we love the Lord. And those of you who are here tonight, as well as some others that aren't, we know you love the Lord. And sometimes I have to go back and stop and think, what was my attitude toward the Lord most of my life? Well, I didn't doubt that he was the Son of God. I didn't know that, I didn't really understand the Trinity. And perhaps the reason is the Trinity is misrepresented. I think it's the thing that made me love the Lord was when he literally forced me to study the Word with my heart in it rather than making a good grade by remembering what the teacher said on tests. All of us did it. But you don't learn much that way. And I love Leonard's story about the men on the Emmaus Road, because they did. Their hearts did burn inside them. But my heart never really burned for the Lord. Unless I needed him. And that part of my life was only joyous during certain times of the year. I knew enough about the Feast of Tabernacles to be happy at that season of year, to appreciate the Lord more. I knew to appreciate the Lord more at Easter, and I would listen to the radio, listen to the movie, and go to the movies and on Easter movies, and go to church on Easter. And my favorite holiday was Christmas, and even back then, I knew that I knew the Lord wasn't born on Christmas, but I loved Christmas. I still do. And since we didn't have much money, it was awful hard to get Mom to get a Christmas tree. So I usually went out in the woods, and I took my tempestuous little brother along with me. He was 7 years younger than me, because I was afraid I might fall out of the top of a pine tree. And we lived on the outskirts of town. So we would go way back in the woods, and I'd ruin a pine tree, because when I cut out the top, I didn't know it was an apical meristem. I learned that in college. But it ruined the tree except for lumber. But I used to go out and look at trash cans before Christmas, see if anybody had thrown around their old Christmas tree lights. And in most cases it worked. So I'd put the Christmas tree lights on. And they usually threw out some of that old fluffy stuff that you put around it. And I used to make a star and put it up at the top. And that was a wonderful time of year for me. I loved a Christmas tree. But the one thing I always loved, and I like to look at it at night, so we'd get a manger scene of sorts. You can imagine what one we constructed looked like. And at night, I'd go out and just sit and look at that manger scene. So that was my Christian experience, and I enjoyed it. I loved it. But I didn't love him like I should, because I really didn't know him very well. You know, Jesus was a lot more than a lamb in a picture's arms. And God uses a lot of things to attract us to his Son. I didn't know that there was just one God. I thought there was a Father. I thought there was a Son. I thought there was a Holy Ghost. And I thought there were three separate entities. And the church I went to, they didn't help much matter, because that's what they taught me. We moved around a lot, and sometimes there wasn't a Missionary Baptist church. My uncle was a drunkard, and so Mom had to keep him at home, and she had to work, and I had to go out with him and drag him out of bars, which was really exciting at Christmas. But I never lost my zeal for just looking at those things that just meant so much to me. And finally, I got to the point where I just kind of drifted away from the Lord. I had a wonderful wife, had wonderful kids. And at times of holidays and seasons of the year, Jewish festivals, I was taught enough about them that I taught Imogene about them. I taught the kids about them. And a few times a year, we'd go to church. You have no idea what has gone through me and has led me and has changed me since I came to this church. I don't necessarily think God wanted me at this church. I just think He wanted to send me a church where they'd put up with me. And you all were desperate. Did you know that? I didn't know that. But I just felt like this was the place. I thought, well, isn't that wonderful of you to help that poor little old church with all your great Bible knowledge? And this is where God wanted. Now, I understand a lot of things about Jesus. But I tell you one reason I wanted this school and why I asked the church about it. The Godhead fulfills the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit offices in Jesus. I'm so thankful to God that all the preachers in this church understand that, and that the deacon understands it, and that many church members in here understand it. It's a blessing to know that. Well, I love holidays. I love seasons. I love festivals. Anything associated with Jesus or activities in His life, I love. If they present the God-man, I just can't get enough of Him. And I asked Him about 10 years ago, Lord, would You show me as much of Yourself as You're willing? I had no idea what He was going to show me. But all of a sudden, I began to understand things I had never really thought about before. And when Leonard came up here, same thing happened to him. Kenneth was here and listened to both of us. And I think the same things happened to our deacon. I think Chuck understood the bride a long time ago. And I think that this church is especially blessed by having preachers, deacons, those who come and these classes that want to teach us more about Him. In John 1:1, He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Period. I believe in a pre-incarnate Christ. They never taught me that in the seminary. I guess that's in the advanced courses, but I went to the advanced courses. They never taught me about the pre-incarnate Christ. I'm not going to criticize them for it, but I sure didn't know that. I feel wonderful now. I feel, you don't know how much I'm feeling what I'm teaching right now, what I'm saying. You don't know how much that I'm feeling the joy inside that God taught us that. Because it just makes you love God so much more. And Jesus kept telling us to glorify God because the Godhead is supposed to be exalted. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be exalted. And the Son is supposed to be exalted. And they're all one God. And when you understand that, it makes life a whole lot more livable. In Genesis 1:26a, if J.C. James hadn't taught me this, he was the Hebrew teacher, I would never have known it. I'm not that good at Hebrew, but here's what he taught us in Genesis 1:26a. You've heard this many times before, but every time that you hear it and you have something else to go with it, it makes you love God that much more. He says, let us, more than one, make man in our image, after our likeness. Here's what J.C. James said that meant in context. Let us make man in our blood flowing image, after our earth becoming likeness. And what it says is, I am. He is the I am. Tell them I am hath sent thee. He said, I am making this man after, I am making myself after this man's blood flowing, earth becoming likeness. Then in Genesis 3:15 through 21, you don't know how, I could have died not knowing that. But God was merciful to let me know it. Doesn't matter who taught me, but this is something God taught me straight out of the Bible. And Leonard came along and he reinforced it. And then along came Kenneth, listened to both of us, and he believes it. The deacon believes it. You know why? God meant for us to be here. Leonard's supposed to be here, I'm supposed to be here, Kenneth's supposed to be here, and a deacon's supposed to be here, and Chuck Trusty, he's more or less somebody that I sure would like to have here. He says, but that's God's business. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I've taught that so many times. Forget, I'm not even going to go into it. Unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them. He pictured a perfect blood sacrifice. And if you think that Cain and Adam didn't know that, didn't understand what they were supposed to offer, I will tell you that they did. And when Cain showed up, God didn't jump all over him when he offered the wrong sacrifice. He said, do it again. In plain Arkansas terminology, he said, do it again. He offered him a chance to do the same thing again, and Cain wouldn't do it. There's lots of people that get saved. A lot of them have been saved here. They just don't want to do it God's way. Mike's favorite expression is my way or the highway. When I was his age, that was my motto. This is going to be my way or the highway. So I thought I was doing the right thing for looking where I should worship God. Well, God made sure that I was that I was raised by Missionary Baptist. He made sure of that. So I was faced with what they teach the truth. I mean, you have to make up your mind, your own mind. Nobody can make it up for you. I respected my grandfather, and if somebody had asked me, do you believe that? Yes, sir. But I wouldn't have blurted out and said, but my grandmother, my granddaddy and grandmother taught me that. That was a reason. But there's a much greater reason than that. You know why they call him a personal savior? They call him a personal savior because he wants to be very personal with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know him as who he is and how much he loves you. And he wants you to yield to him out of your own stubborn will and finally admit that God's way is the right way and I don't want to be out on the highway. Now, he said, God indicated he would one day take on the form of a woman's seed to be found in fashion as a sinless man to sacrifice his flesh and blood to redeem believers by his quickening spirit. God planned that before the earth was even formed. He formed that before creation. God knew exactly what he was going to do from the beginning. He is everlasting. He is Alpha and Omega. In him is all wisdom, all understanding, all discernment, all power. You say, well, can you explain God? I just did the best way I can. So, was I a fool not to follow him? Yes. You know why I didn't follow him? It's a very simple reason. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. He was trying to tell me the story of Jesus. He was trying to write on my heart every word, the Holy Spirit was. Jesus said he would speak of him and tell the disciples of him. But I was interested in all the things the world had to offer. And I didn't know it. Satan blinded my heart and did everything he could. He couldn't unsave me. He did everything he could to keep me from serving God. And if it were not for God himself, if it were not for Jesus in me, I would have gone the way of Demas. You say, well, aren't you proud of yourself? No, I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for God with all my heart. Because that's the only reason I'm sitting down here teaching you right now. And I'm trying hard not to teach you what I think, but what his word says. But when, listen, this is so simple. I think about stuff like this all the time. This is why I love Christmas. This is why I know he wasn't born on Christmas, but I be honest, I don't think that makes any difference to God. He didn't tell us to do this, but this is something I want to do. And I tell people, no, he wasn't born on Christmas, but he was born. But when the fullness of time was come, when it was all planned, it was all planned, and he knew that each one of us would be here tonight. He knew we'd start the school. He knew the preachers that we have would come here. And he knew that they would learn to love one another. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. In another place it says, Abba, Abba. Thank you. Thank you, Father. It's a cry, a spiritual cry from the heart to a God you cannot see, but who testifies in you, you belong to me. He's jealous of you. He's very jealous of you. It's a righteous jealousy. And he loves you more than you'll ever know. More than I'll ever know. Maybe when we get to heaven, we'll understand it. In Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus knew he was God. Disciples never did understand that completely until after he was gone. And after he had ascended into heaven. And the Pharisees and scribes, the people, they tried to stone him and finally crucified him. He told them the truth. They couldn't take the truth. Do you know why most people don't stay in church, churches that teach the truth? They don't want to know any more about him. Because the more you know about him, the more you commit yourself to him. The more you learn to love others, not just yourself. The more you're concerned with the welfare, spiritual welfare of others, and you know that you have to be concerned about yours if you're going to set an example for them of letting people see that Christ lives in you. He says, but made himself of no reputation. Who? God. All of God. One God. In whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. God planned to make himself into a perfect man, whose name would be Jesus from the foundation of the world. And Jesus was there when the world was founded, and he was there when all things were made, but he was there incarnate. He was incarnate in the Old Testament. Don't worry about those folks in the Old Testament. God's just as merciful to them as he is to you. And in my opinion, and that's all it is, he'll probably be more merciful to them because they knew a whole lot less than you and I do. And we're responsible for what we know. And the more you know, the more committed you are. The bigger fight the devil has to stop you from serving God and giving one God glory through Christ, who fulfilled the office of the Son, who sent back the Holy Spirit. He told him he couldn't send him back till he ascended. And God the Father is the one who is the office that fulfilled sending the Son, who sent back the Spirit. But there is only one God. Man, I'm glad. Sometimes I want to say, Lord, I'm glad there's just one of you, because what a job that would be, trying to please all three gods. But the wonderful thing is, they're all the same. They're all the same. And we're privileged to know that. Not many people do. But we must be pleasing God in some way, because he just keeps on blessing us. And my prayer constantly is that he will keep the devil out of this church, that he will push the guile out, keep him out, and let us finish our course here, faithful to God, even when all things start turning bad. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given a name which is above every name. Now listen, I think that this is correct, what I'm going to tell you. That at the name of Jesus, I think Jesus is his name. You say, well, I think that's what that means. Every knee should bow of every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is God. That's to the glory of the Father. That is to the glory of Almighty God. That is to the glory of the everlasting Father. That is to the glory of the Prince of Peace. That is to the glory of the Counselor and of the Comforter. And it's all God's glory. If that ever sinks in between your head and the other side of your ears, and it sunk into mine, I just hope that God keeps it there. I just hope that God keeps it there, because those are the times in my life that I enjoy. This Christmas, Imogene will be gone. The girls don't like for me to talk about her over here. April gets upset. You think I'm not going to have the best Christmas I've ever had? I'm going to have the best one I've ever had. Now she knows this. She knows it's true. And she's up there with, my goodness, she loved my mother. She even loved my brother Gary. Ooh. And she loved her parents, and she loved me. She was wonderful. My mother was, and her and they're having a wonderful time. Sure, they want to see me. So my grandfather and grandmother on both sides, they want to see me. Uncle Judge wants to see me. They all want to see me. I want to serve God here as long as he wants me to. I know that because it's on my heart. But I'm going to have a wonderful Christmas. The kids will all cry every time they think of her. But I won't, because I talk to her all the time, to her picture. You say, well, she doesn't hear you. I know that. Or do I? I just know that I'm happy. And sometimes when I start to get sad, I just look up at that picture, and she's got that cute little grin right up there. And she's got another little grin over here, one as I go out the door. So I haven't abandoned her. You know, I thought I understood this when I came up here.
but I think there's a whole lot of variations to this. If in 1 Corinthians 15:19, 22-45, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable.
I worshiped God in the hopes that I would get promotion so I could better feed my family. I worshiped God so my family would stay well physically. I worshiped God so people would like me. I didn't know that was wrong. That was just me. I didn't realize how carnal I was. But I knew that every time I went to church, I was so guilty that I would go home and confess all my sins and for a while serve Him out of a sense of duty and then go back to being miserable. There's a lot of them on the church roll just like that. I think they're scared of Him. There's a difference between respecting Him by fear and being fear of punishment. There's a difference. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's why I'm going to be resurrected. He's in me. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. The God who raised Himself is in me. And He raised Himself. And I'm going to be with Him forever. Daniel 7:13-14. In the Old Testament, there are some things that you can tell He's talking about Christ incarnate. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden Jesus came into existence at the time Daniel wrote this or was going to come into existence in the future. He did come into existence in the future, but He was pre-incarnate in the Old Testament. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. The Son of Man. How many times did Jesus call Himself the Son of Man? How many times was He called the Son of David? How many times was He called the Son of God? He had many names, but there is no sweeter name in the name of Jesus. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. That's God playing the role, fulfilling the office of God the Father. And they brought Him near before Him. This is God telling what's going to happen in the future and what He personally plans to do as the Son. And there was given Him dominion. There's a great big land, a new earth outside the millennium, and there's a great big one the other side of the heaven age. That's the dominion. Heaven's going to be a marvelous place. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Where are we living now? We're living close to Him in His church. We come down here and assemble and we put up with each other. And when we get irritated, we get over it. And we ask God to forgive us. And we go on. We press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And you can't do that if you keep looking backwards. And there was given Him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not be passed away. I love this. And His kingdom which that shall not be destroyed. We will see each other for all eternity. We will work for the same God. It's one God. We will have different jobs, but we will see one another and we will know one another and we will remember the things that were good and not the things that were bad. We will remember the good. I don't think we'll remember the bad. But we'll know what a price He paid to get us there. And we'll love Him forever and ever and ever. No time. There'll be no time. For us, that ends on the seventh trumpet. He says,
But thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah. He wasn't born in the temple. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. He came in a manger, probably a cave under the house that had no room for him. Oddly enough, it was built on God, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Moses said he was a prophet. And yet people will see these things. Do you know why people don't come to church? They never learn this. They never learn it. Because they come and they get convicted about their service and they never come back. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you ought to tone it down. I can't now. Not in these last days. I'm sorry, but these last days are something that I've got an unction on my heart, and people are going to be told about this one way or the other. And all I can hope is that they'll take some of these tapes and they'll listen to them, and maybe when they come here, we'll be super nice to them, and maybe they'll stick around long enough to learn the truth. But God's got to do all that. We can't do. We cannot force people into this. And we cannot say, I'm going to do this because I want them to join. And I want to do this, and I'll do this for them. I'll do that for them. It won't work. I've tried it. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. I admit that. But I spent most of my time up here, and I testified to a lot of people. I went out to their houses, and I remember when Ruby's husband, he was cantankerous fellow. And I went out two or three times to witness to him. Last time he was fixing a fence. Boy, he let me have it. So, I just didn't say anything.
You should call Ken and myself and we'd bring our grits gone down.
This guy could have whipped both of you with his little finger. He was in shape and he was mean. Anyway, I just backed off and said, well, James, I'll see you. I thought he was going to say, I hope not, but he just grunted and I came on back. You know, when he got cancer, it was different. You say, well, why didn't it do some good the first time? I think he had to get the cancer. But what I talked to him about the Lord, it wasn't anything complicated. And love was one of the things I mentioned to him. You know, that stuck with him. He never forgot it because he remembered how mean he was to me. When I showed up there, he was amazed that I showed up. And I talked to him again. And then later on, I talked to him again. I was there when he died. And I watched the thing go up and down. And watched the come in. So the whole family was there. He had been saved. And I rejoiced in it. So our mission is not just to get people to understand what God's taught us. I mean, the real meat of it, this is the meat. But our job is to tell people about Jesus. Give them tapes. Talk to them yourself. I know Leonard and Kenneth and Michael and the deacon. I know all of you here are certainly able to talk to them if you have a chance. And if you give them those tapes, they might ask you some questions. And it might change their life and their heart. That would be between them and God. He says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, with henceforth and forever. We're going to stand at that judgment seat. Think how much better off we're going to be because we came here tonight and we heard about Jesus. You say, well, I already knew all that. Jesus wants you to know it better. And the more you hear it, the more things you understand about it. I love that song. Tell me, I can't sing it in tune. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Did he not say that he was going to write a new covenant on our hearts? And did Christ not fulfill that new covenant? And is he not living there? Is his name not written on our heart? Do we not know that Jesus is God? We know Jesus is God. And his covenant that was with Israel, it's written on our hearts. And he lives in us. And we have a much better account of who Jesus is than they ever dreamed of having. And so we ought to love him more than they did. And I think we're going to be held accountable for that. So be thankful you're here tonight. And be thankful you're here when we preach and teach, because I guarantee you, everyone that preaches and teaches in this church, we don't leave Jesus out of anything. He says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, I'll be. You mean that the Lord did all this? The Lord of hosts? You mean God did all this in three offices? Absolutely. One God. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying. I don't blame her. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I don't worship Mary, but I respect Mary. She must have been quite a spiritual woman for God to have chosen her. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, among many other things. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. David, in David's line, Joseph, his supposed father, who was not, came through that line. And you say, well, did God know all that before the foundation of the world? Yes. Did he know what would happen? Did he know Adam would sin? Did he know that Leonard Moses, Tom McElmurray, Kenneth Eubanks, Robert Collins, and Chuck Trusty would be born? Yes. Did he know what he was going to do with us? Yes. You say, well, then you must have had some part in it. No, God, by his foreknowledge, knew the choice we'd make, and he operated in that way. And here we are. Not a one of us can ever stand before God and say, I did this. All we could say is, praise the Lord for doing this. And I love that, because I don't ever have to worry about making a mistake in heaven. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We'll take a break. And after that, well, we'll come back and I'll finish the last part of this. All right.